Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to IGN Games Group. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone.
New associate editor, Per Schneider.
Hodor. Moving up.
And
I don't know if he's going to work out here.
Brian Altano, of
course. Rap.
And we're talking about Nintendo, specifically Nintendo at E3 next week. Nintendo's doing something a little different this year for E3. In an unprecedented move, they've opted not to have a press conference. Instead, they're doing what? They're having a Nintendo Direct,
an Nintendo
online
Directs,
presentation
yeah.
that morning, right? Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
Bright and early.
Nice. That's nice for us.
Is it like 6:30 our time or something?
Well, it's 7 a.m., but 7 a.m., okay. Yeah.
But I think for people watching the conference, not much will have changed. Maybe it's a little less awkward and like less stuff can go wrong because it's all pre-scripted, right? It's pre-taped.
Yeah.
So I think for the outside world, it's not that big of a difference. It's, I think, a difference for people who are attending the show.
Yeah, I mean, the same news is going to come out. It's going to be basically
Hopefully.
The same thing.
Hopefully.
Miyamoto is probably going to still have a hyaline shield or whatever he's going to do, but yeah, it'll be less.
See, and that, but there's a good and bad to that, right? Like, you lose all the social awkwardness of like the Wii Music debut.
Yeah.
But you also lose, like, when they first showed Smash Brothers or a new Zelda game and you hear the whole crowd erupt, you lose all that if it's just you sitting there watching your computer at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, there's a give and take there. It's definitely them controlling the conversation a lot more.
Maybe they'll have a laugh track or they have you up at noon audience or something.
So, like, two people laughing.
Four people in the corner.
So, while I'll be watching closely Tuesday morning, what do we expect to see? Why don't we start with you, Audrey?
I mean, obviously, they've already said they're going to show off the new HD Mario, Smash Bros., Mario Kart, and I think they're obviously going to show off a Zelda.
The usual suspects.
The usual suspects. They're going to show off probably A Link to the Past 2. Maybe we'll get a hint of the HD Zelda, because they have to be working on it, right? They have to have been working on it for a while, so I hope we get to see a glimpse of that. Maybe something new. Maybe.
See, I think, I mean, I was just kind of thinking about what are the best-selling franchises for Nintendo, and the last Mario Kart title basically buried everything in Wii Sports.
Yeah,
so I think,
yeah.
I gotta think the new Mario Kart is gonna be the prime focus, right? Like, the last one on Wii did 30 million, right?
Well,
a little
Mario
bundles
Kart.
Going on, but still, Mario Kart is huge, and so having for the first time, like, this dual-screen setup where you could have two-player without, you know, the other person seeing your screen, I think they're gonna focus a lot of time on that. And then Smash Brothers, obviously, is gonna be huge. I gotta think they're gonna announce a new Retro Studios game, whether that's Metroid or a new IP to be introduced, or, you know, maybe they're working on both. Whether that's that, and then I think the second part is going to have to be about third parties, because there's been so much negative press about third parties saying Wii U may not be the platform for us, or outright saying we're not doing anything, or we're not developing our engine for it. They gotta come on stage with, you know, bring somebody in from like Sega to talk Sonic, the new Sonic game. They gotta have somebody from Capcom for some Wii exclusive stuff. So I think that'll be a big focus too.
Yeah. What do you want to see, Brian?
Pretty much everything mentioned so far. I think that it's obvious to them to play to their strengths and their five or six core franchises. But I think that, we say this every time, but I think it's time that they go, and here's this one thing you can only do here, right? Like, it's about the games, but also the other console guys, they basically have, you know what their system's going to be. You know how it plays, you know what it does. Most people still don't know why they should play a video game on the Wii U. Like, what's the difference there? Why should I have a gamepad in my living room? Why should I have that sitting here while somebody over here is watching TV? What's the second screen experience? Like, they haven't defined that yet. And with the Wii Remote, you pick that up the first day, and you're like, baseball, golf, got it. Got it.
Well, the funny thing about Wii U is that a lot of people still don't know that it exists outside of hardcore gamers.
Right.
Like the casual audience, like my family, they had no idea Nintendo would come out with a new system, whereas everyone knew about Wii the second it came out. Mm-hmm. So just the marketing is a little off. People just don't know it's a separate thing from Wii.
Sure.
They think it's sort of a peripheral. So having something like Mario Kart or something to really set this apart and show casual and hardcore gamers alike that this is a new system and it's something that you need
to have. I have a prediction for Mario Kart, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that I hope not. I won't be playing it like that. But I have a feeling that it will be merging with the Sonic Racing kart games that have come out recently, and that'll be their third.
Really?
Well, they're working on three games with the Sonic team, and I have a feeling that they're going to bring some new blood in the Mario Kart. That'd be my guess. They've tried it in the past with Pac-Man, but nobody really cared. And the Sonic kart racing games are actually really awesome, so I could see them coming together on
that. Be a smart
Just
crossover.
Prediction.
I think they'll focus a lot on kind of the Miiverse social integration, because I think that's, you know, something that's often overlooked and we kind of forgot about it, right? But Mario had this awesome feature where you could post about a level after you've beaten it, and kind of like the world map took on a life of its own after you started playing. Mario Kart is perfect for that. Just like, you know, score challenges that you issue to your friends, like real leaderboards and online support. I think that's going to be a big one.
Yeah. I think really, really, really the big thing they need before anybody can sit there and go, well, this is how you play it, these are the games we're going to play, they need to come out and say, it's $100 cheaper or $50 cheaper.
That would be
I mean, so it's been out since November. I think this is when you go, we're not going to be able to fight against these $400, $500, $600 potentially dollar systems that are coming out this fall, Xbox One and PS4, and we don't want to focus on all the TV stuff and stuff like that. And I think a lot of gamers looked at a lot of the DRM stuff that the Xbox One was talking about, and cameras always watching you and connecting with your cable box. And I think they were like, you know what, I just want a system that plays games. And if they say, parents, this thing's $249, and it plays Mario and Zelda and Sonic, and you don't have to do anything, you just hook it up and play it. I think that's a way in.
I guess I'd say they want to get out at least a couple heavy hitters. Try having Mario Kart and Mario on the system before, you know, just caving and cutting the price.
I mean, they didn't with the 3DS though, right?
That's true.
I mean, they kind of said, well,
when did they drop the price? How long was it after?
I think it was about six or seven months.
6 or 7 months.
Yeah. So that's about what we're looking at now.
But it took them a long time to become profitable on that again.
Yeah.
I think they have time. I think they'll wait.
I think they'll wait
at least till the holidays, right? Mm-hmm. But it also remains to be seen what are the big titles that they can put out this year, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be amazing. I mean, just think about there's the Wind Waker HD remake.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably exists because the real Zelda game is not ready for a while, right? So they need kind of like the stopgap solutions. Mario games are not easy for them to create, which is why, you know, New Super Mario Brothers on the U existed, which was a simpler take, right? Mm-hmm. And so I got to think this year is going to be Mario Kart and Smash Brothers hitting. Zelda, the Wind Waker remake.
Sounds like he's farting.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like this Wind Waker. but there's got to be something else too, right? I mean, I'm not the only one sitting here saying, all right, we just said every biggest franchise, Nintendo franchise ever, where's the new stuff, right? When are they going to show us something new that they introduce?
Mm. Yep.
Or is that Retro Studios? Will Retro bring that to the table? Or has NSD something that they're working on that we haven't seen before?
I would, side note, very comfortably guess that we will not have Smash Brothers out in stores by the end of the year. I have a feeling that they'll be like, here it is, start getting excited for it. I mean, just the whole process of ramping up to a Smash Brothers games, and they did it for the last two, was they would tease things every day over months and months and months.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of room there for potential partnerships of other franchises coming in. And I think it's enough of a system seller if they show enough of it to get people excited and go, yeah, this is what we want. But I don't think we'll be playing it by the end of the year. I think Nintendo's not crazy enough to be like, here's all of our guns at once. Yeah. Even if they kind of need to right now.
There's not a lot. They need a couple more games out in the holidays.
That's interesting, though, is that even though they really need software right now, Nintendo's the kind of company that'll just keep delaying a game until it's done, even if it's not necessarily in their interest.
That's why they need the third parties to fill those
gaps. Yeah, to fill those gaps.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Realistically, right, I mean, their usual cadence when they have a full schedule is kind of like a game a month, right? They're not going to double up.
Exactly.
And you've got, you know, Luigi U and Pikmin and Wonderful 101 leading up to the holiday season, and then it kind of feels like there's room for three games max from Nintendo proper. So that's probably going to be Mario Kart, right?
Mm-hmm. And, oh, absolutely.
And Nintendo, and unlike, say, Sony or even Microsoft, because they don't have to worry about this problem, but Nintendo has always operated on the fact that they have two systems out at the same time that if you're a Nintendo fan, you kind of have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, I have my 3DS, and I put 90 hours into Animal Crossing. Crossing. You know what that's like. You reviewed it.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, I'm sitting there going, what am I going to play on my Wii U? Nothing. Mm-hmm. But then next month, those rules could be reversed.
That's how it generally goes with them. They focus hardcore on their handheld, and then it gets quieter on that console while they go to their Wii U.
Yeah.
So it'll probably go back and forth. But right now, the 3DS has plenty of software. I'm not complaining, but
I will say it's sort of interesting to see them in... I don't think they've been this on the ropes in the console war in a very, very long time.
I was going to ask if Nintendo's in the hardest position going into E3 this year. Well, just because they don't have the benefit of all the attention of launching a new system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look, I mean, I covered Nintendo back in the N64 days, mm-hmm. and there were some serious software droughts.
Right? Oh, God, yeah.
Nothing new was coming out for a while, and we were heading into E3 going like, oh, my God, nothing's out. That means like every studio is working on all these games, and then you go into E3, you're like, oh,
yeah, like, oh, man, right? Kid Chameleon 2.
Let's not forget, like, a lot of game developers adjusted to the pressures of working on a next generation platform, mm-hmm. online code, HD graphics, all that. A generation back, Nintendo is just going through that, and so I do think it's taking them longer than usual to get ramped up. I'm not expecting the floodgates to open at E3 like in a huge way where there are lots and lots of
games. All the other companies figured out how easy it is to develop for this generation, why are they all abandoned the chance of work on Wii U hardware, which is, you know, basically identical to what they've been working on for years. They would rather plunge into these new systems.
It's every single day. Tablets confuse them.
Yeah, I guess so. Every single day you hear about a new game that's coming to the 360, the PS3, the PS4, the Xbox One, and the Wii U is not mentioned at all.
They react to what's in the market, right? A lot of developers and publishers remember the end of the Wii days, right? A lot of publishers tried to create hits on Wii.
Yeah.
And tried to even release games that were more like what Nintendo was doing, right? Like Rockstar did a ping pong game for Christ's sakes, right?
Yeah.
It was actually good, but it didn't sell. And so I think everybody kind of at the end of the Wii life cycle said, man, it's so freaking hard to get a hit on this platform unless you get some carnival game and you get lucky, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go into Wii U and you're like, oh man, this is a special, different platform once again. Should we go on it? And then everybody just kind of dips their toes in the water and releases an also-ran kind of title, right? Like an Arkham City or something like that. And then suddenly, you know, even if you generate a hit, it's almost too late to get ramped up.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, not many people have Wii U's right now.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's not really in their interest to put out the extra development time to make something exclusive or even port something over when just people have a system.
It's the problem we always talk about where you can't make games for people who don't have a console and people don't buy a console when it doesn't have games.
Exactly.
And you're stuck in this cycle. Yeah. And
but I don't think it's a Nintendo exclusive problem, right? Like a lot of traditional console game makers have had the same problem with the iPad and the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Other companies stepped in and had humongous hits on those platforms, whereas, you know, with maybe EA's exception of EA, a lot of console game makers were sitting there going like, wait, that thing is popular, how do we make a hit there? And they tried what worked on other platforms and didn't work. And I think it's the same with Nintendo. You need to know how to create a hit on Nintendo. Sega with Sonic has always had a great audience on their platform, so it's a no-brainer for me. I do, you know, like just seeing more Sonic content being exclusive to Nintendo makes sense. But what else is out there, right? Are there other third-party properties that would be really at home first and foremost on a Nintendo platform,
I think? Yeah, Platinum's doing a great job of supporting them. It's just that those games aren't going to come out for a while. Like Bayonetta 2, Wonderful 101, those games look amazing, but who knows when we're actually going to play Bayonetta 2. It could be a couple years.
I think the one other big thing outside of the game announcements, I gotta think that they have a plan, a subscription plan, the way that Microsoft and Sony have.
Xbox,
you know,
Live or PlayStation Plus.
More like get a virtual console subscription or something where you pay a set fee, right? Yeah. Nintendo is all about now owning content. Mm. They're trying to own games media by doing their own streams and their own events and pushing their own YouTube channel. I gotta think the next thing is creating more of a kind of coherent message on the platform.
What they need first and foremost, and they need to detail this at E3, is a unified account system.
Yeah.
And they need something that can tell me, as a person who enjoys purchasing virtual console games, if I buy a point card, you know, and it works on 3DS and the Wii U, I buy Ghosts and Goblins for $5 on my 3DS, right? My Wii U has no idea that I've done that.
Yeah.
And it's available for $5 on my Wii U, and I can go buy it there separately and just sit with one sort of portable device and another very portable device sitting next to each other on the couch with the same game. But there's no like, hey, you bought it here, it's free here now.
Yeah.
You know, like Sony does it with the PS3. You can play your games on a Vita. There's cross-platform purchases. Like a lot of people don't want to take a plunge into a very highly digital system when they know that if their thing breaks, they're gone. Like my 3DS right now, if you rob that from me, that's like there's hundreds of dollars worth of stuff on there, if not thousands, you know? And yeah. I could give that to a kid and like, hey, go outside, go to the zoo, leave it in the...
You're
talking about ownership, though. Like, PSN is not about ownership. It's about paying a fee and getting access to certain games. If you don't pay anymore, those games go away, yeah. right?
Well, and PSN is free.
Yeah. PlayStation Plus. So you pay for access, and I got to think that is a good model for Nintendo because they don't have to solve all these complications with crossplay and all
that.
Sure, you know, if you don't own the content per se.
The funny thing is that most of those games could be played on both systems. Like, there's no reason for SNES games to not be on 3DS. They'd play perfectly. It's ridiculous that they announced Game Boy Advance games for Wii U before 3DS. So it's just a little weird, their strategy.
I do think we'll see something on that, though.
I mean, I can play Super Metroid on my Wii U, but I can't play it on my 3DS. Yeah. I can play Mega Man 2 on my 3DS, but I can't play it on my Wii U. Because each of those systems is getting different NES and SNES and GBA games every week, but none of them are communicating.
And I'm buying them all.
Me too. Because I'm a sucker.
It's working for them.
Exactly. That's the problem.
We're the problem, Brian.
I'm like, we got to send a better message than this. Here's my credit card.
Well, it's sure to be a fascinating E3. Nintendo's E3 Direct conference is 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
7 a.m.
Right
on Tuesday.
Specific time.
Pacific on Tuesday, June 11th. Mm-hmm. Immediately following at 8 a.m., IGN will have a live post-show analysis. Tune in for that and stay tuned for live GameScoop updates from the E3 2013 show floor every day of the week. Stay tuned.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.